Our next speaker is Denise Chrysler, JD. She is the director of the Network for Public Health Law in the Mid-States Regional Center at the University of Michigan School of Public Health.
Thank you.
Please welcome.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming to our session on environmental justice and for staying to hear about bed bugs, one of my favorite topics. I just give you a little bit of my background. I spent 27 years as an attorney with the Michigan Department of Community Health before joining the University of Michigan. At the University of Michigan, our project, the Network for Public Health Law, it's funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to help people like you, public health practitioners and attorneys, use the law to protect the public's health. Well, I've done that for 27 years, I hope, as an attorney working with the Michigan Department of Community Health, providing legal advice on a variety of public health problems, and most notably, bed bugs. Fortunately, my agency saw law as a very important part of their mission and included me on the bed bug working group, and I learned more than I ever wanted to know about bed bugs, including the biology of bed bugs, and why it's so difficult to use the law to combat bed bugs. And we have a bed bug manual that's online, and it has a pretty extensive legal section, and I was the primary author of that section. So now on to putting on my glasses, because I can't even see the arrows. There we go. I have no financial interest. I have no shares of stock in any pesticide company or apartment management company. Okay, at least if you're my age group, you grew up with, you know, sleep tight, don't let the bed bugs bite. Well, when I was born in the 1950s, nobody knew what a bed bug was, and that's because they've been with us for many, many centuries, however, including the United States, including, by the 1950s, when I was born, they were very scarce problem, had been on the decline, had been effectively dealt with by DDT and other measures, and so for so many years, people, in fact, I think one of the reasons people, when I say, you know, what are you talking about today, Denise? Bed bugs, ha, 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 is because for a long time, people didn't believe they were real. But now, unfortunately, we know they're real. They cause great misery. They do bite, and they do interfere with sleep. Okay, as I mentioned, they're real small reddish brown. I have a photo from the Indiana Department of Health that shows that they are visible to the eye. They're about the size of a grain of rice. If you would like to stay afterwards, I can tell you how to inspect your mattress for bed bugs. Usually you look along the bead and you're looking for the excrement. Rather than the bed bugs themselves, they prefer humans. They can't fly, they're wingless, but they do travel a lot, either as hitchhikers on possessions, so they're carried from infested places to uninfested places. They also crawl between apartment units and void spaces, along electrical wires, what have you. They come out at night, they're nocturnal, is when they mostly bite, and they're no laughing matter. And this is just a photo of some bed bug bites. About 70-75% of people are sensitive to bed bug bites. The other ones don't react at all. Welts can appear from anywhere from 3 to 14 days. They can itch like crazy, and they can cause great misery to people. In addition to the bites, we have secondary infections from scratching. There's been reported cases of anemia in children and the elderly where there are substantial infestations. Of course, you can imagine the anxiety, stress, stigma, embarrassment, sleeplessness, there's phantom itching, the economic hardship. Let me see if I can just give you a sense of what it costs to eradicate bed bugs. I'm a lawyer, so you ask, how much does it cost to eradicate bed bugs? It depends. For example, it can be anywhere from $50 for mattress encasement to $300 to $400 per room for your first treatment with pesticides. It takes multiple treatments. It can be using the most effective method, which is heating a unit to at least 120 degrees for several hours, $1,000 for an efficiency apartment. So when you talk about people who are poor, you can see the kind of economic strain if they have to deal with the treatment costs. Also, if they end up having to dispose of their possessions, the loss in sleep, the loss in productivity, if you should lose your home because of a bed bug problem, they cause great economic distress on people. And they, because of the misery they cause people to take extreme measures leading to harm. For example, when the internet is really, bad at, or good at, depending on your point of view, of spreading myths and thoughts about how to deal with problems that may not be only ineffective but dangerous. For example, one of them was using gasoline to douse your mattress and to spread on your skin. So fire officials in Queens, put out press to warn people that this was not only ineffective but very dangerous. People have exploded bed bombs in their house to rid themselves of bed bugs. And not only is that ineffective, but it's caused multiple cases of pesticide poisoning. There is one infant death that is attributed to bug bombs. The CDC has recognized, and the EPA issued a joint statement recognizing bed bugs as a concern of public health, a pest of significant public health importance. There is no evidence at this time that bed bugs transmit disease, although there have been pathogens found in the gut, in the blood, in bed bugs. But there's also not a lot of studies and not a lot of funding for studies thus far to look at the danger that they do pose. Of course, I had already mentioned the negative impact, including economic lost productivity and what have you. It's hard to find information about bed bugs and the impact on the poor. One reason is there's just not a whole lot of data. Bed bugs is not reportable. A lot of data we do have comes from bed bug companies. You can also, you can look on the internet. If you query bed bugs, you're going to get thousands of hits, and you're going to get just very, very sad stories about what it does to people's lives and the inability for them to get effective relief from landlords and what have you. It's believed that they have a disproportionate impact on the poor for many reasons. These all make sense. If you have bed bugs that travel from unit to unit, so it would affect multiple dwelling buildings more than it would single-family dwellings, affect more where there's a high occupant turnover, people bringing in and out their possessions, high density, more units to treat, used mattresses and furniture, where there's lack of resources. For example, if I were in an apartment unit and my landlord did not effectively deal with the bed bug problem, I could most likely leave and hopefully use methods so I didn't take the bed bugs with me. But if you don't have those options, and then, of course, the lack of resources for treatment, the disposal of your possessions, et cetera, they're very difficult to eliminate. And often people who are poor do not have the kind of power, for example, with their landlords. And what poor people often experience, and tenants do in general, is the blame game. It's really hard to prove where the bed bugs came from, who brought them in, and who should be responsible. And typically, I was going to talk about landlord-tenant law. Here is some data from the City of New York. In 2009, the City of New York, in its environmental or its community health survey, started asking, do you have a problem with bed bugs? Bed bugs being defined as requiring the services of an exterminator. And then this is the 2011 data that's part of the City of New York's environmental health portal, and they ranked neighborhoods according to poverty, and for the neighborhoods with the highest level of poverty, it was 8.8% of the adults reported bed bug problems, with the neighborhoods with the lowest poverty is 5.3% of adults, and then medium in between. Of course, homeless shelters, with all the transients, all the possessions coming in and out, is a smorgasbord for bed bugs. There was a study in 2003 of homeless shelters in Toronto. It had 33% of the homeless shelters reporting bed bug problems. Response of public health agencies, not great. For example, I'm on a board of health. My health department provides information about bed bugs, but does not intervene or follow up in any way on bed bug complaints. They're reluctant, for good reason, to get involved with complaints. First, lack of explicit authority in most laws about who's responsible for bed bugs. Lack of resources to deal with bed bugs. And many public health people question whether this is a public health problem because of the lack of evidence that bed bugs transmit disease. So I was mentioning landlord-tenant law. You would think that landlords and tenants have mutual interest, and that's to prevent bed bugs, to not bring them into a building, to control bed bugs at the earliest opportunity when the problem is manageable, and then to work together to successfully eliminate bed bugs while minimizing stress and cost. However, our landlord-tenant laws, for the most part across the nation, is a fault-based system. It's a system where generally the landlord has a duty to provide premises that are fit for people to live there. But when it comes to individual units, typically the tenant is responsible for those individual units. And again, you have the problem of proving who brought in the bed bugs. And since bed bugs travel from unit to unit, who should be responsible? And if you are a tenant who's afraid of being evicted or have no money to deal with bed bug treatment which is ineffective unless there's an integrated, coordinated approach to bed bugs, you're not likely to report them when the problem is manageable, or you may not even know it while the problem is manageable. So when you have landlord-tenant laws, you know, do they promote or hinder mutual goals and interests of landlords and tenants? So you've got a fault-based system where the responsible party bears the cost. You may have landlord or tenant self-help, which is ineffective. You have factual disputes and uncertainty in the law as far as who's responsible. Plus, you have enforcement problems, unpredictable court determinations, and this means delay. If there's delay, nobody wins, everybody loses. Public housing. This is the guidance from 2012 from HUD with regard to HUD-funded public housing. It does have provisions for integrated pest management, does have requirements about addressing infestations quickly, effectively, and timeframes for response. Landlords may provide protective tools, and they may offer furniture inspection before move-ins. Tenants do have rights and responsibilities, including a prohibition. Landlords cannot refuse tenancy because somebody has a bed bug history, and often landlords will ask that. They cannot charge the tenant for control, and the tenant has the responsibility to cooperate in prevention and control efforts. Let's contrast this to the HUD multifamily insured and assisted properties, the private properties where HUD provides funding. It used to have, in 2011, almost identical guidelines. However, if you go to the property management websites, they all brag about the influence they have had with HUD and how they successfully have brought around about new guidance, which eliminated the tenants' rights and responsibilities section. And so now the provisions protecting against prohibition on tenancy due to history, on charging tenants for treatment, all the provisions about a time frame for responding to bed bug reports have been eliminated. So it's like, you know, one step forward, two steps backwards in addressing, using the law to address bed bugs. And I'm going to be running out of time in like 1 minute. How many? Five? Or one? Oh, five. Okay. So improving laws and interventions to solve bed bug problems. There are a number of states that have passed bed bug specific laws, including Arizona, Texas, Maine. They have a variety of approaches, everything from listing the presence of bed bugs in any place where people sleep as a public nuisance, provisions prohibiting landlords from knowingly renting a unit to a tenant that has a bed bug history, prohibiting tenants from knowingly bringing in materials that have been infested. Some provisions, various laws require landlords provide tenants with educational materials related to bed bugs. I'll just mention Maine in particular, because that's probably the most detailed law in specifying landlord and tenant responsibilities. It has responsibilities for reporting bed bugs, but also has really clear timelines for landlords to first inspect the property if there's a bed bug problem, to bring in a pest management professional, and to take all the efforts necessary to address the problem. Michigan, actually, my state representative, Andy Shore, has drafted a bill very similar to this and has a package of bed bug law bills ready to go with bipartisan support that is modeled on the Maine bill and other laws, the Maine law and other laws with regard to, disclosing bed bug history for units and in not renting premises that have bed bug infestations. New York City probably has the most robust laws, including Department of Sanitation rules for disposing of mattresses and box springs, and a bed bug tenant disclosure law. Recommendations, I'll just mention, law needs to be part of the strategy, but it can't solve the problem. This is unfortunately going to have to be a problem where effective treatment is happens, because you have treatment, you miss one pregnant female, you have bed bugs moving from units to units. It's pretty hard to use the law for long-term effective control. Public guidance and educational is essential. Possibly, if we had provisions for tracking bed bug incidents, that might assist in being able to at least know the nature of the problem and be able to measure effective controls, effective interventions. Possibly small changes in the law, such as mattress disposal requirements, prohibitions on sale of used mattresses unless they're treated, labeling bed bugs as a nuisance or vermin, and then landlord-tenant laws to minimize fault, define responsibilities, promote certainty, reduce delay, and address cost. Here is Michigan's bedbug website, and it has lots of materials there, including the bedbug manual that I mentioned. New York has city has an extensive bedbug website with lots of good information, and also includes its laws. For the summary, bedbugs are no laughing matter. They are a public health problem. They disproportionately, we believe, impact poor people. They may be addressed partially, but not completely by laws. And my favorite entomologist, Eric Foster, always talks of them as environmentally communicable. And so they require efforts by the entire community to prevent and control bedbugs. And thank you.